sports. But look, over the last month, we've seen a bunch of Aussie sports professionals caught up in the middle of really illicit drug-related scandals. And we're talking about players such as Western Sydney Wanderers' Mitch Nichols, right through to administrators like the Cronulla Sharks' ex-chairman Damien Keogh. And I think we just have to ask, is there a culture of illicit drug use embedded within professional Australian sport? It's a tough question. To help us answer it, we've got UTS's Associate Professor of Sports Management, Daryl Adair. Daryl, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, do you think that there is a drug culture within Australian sport, or do you think it's just reflective of Australian society at large?
Well, Australia is one of the world champions, if you want to put it that way, in terms of illicit drug use. So, it would hardly seem a surprise that it pervades a number of areas of our society. And I guess if you have a significant income, you have discretionary time, and also if you're a performer under, I guess, a lot of performance stress, and trying to come down from that. There used to be a time when athletes could consume alcohol, and now that's dissuaded because athletes are required in many respects to hydrate quickly. So looking for alternative ways to relax chemically perhaps has been complicated.
Now, it feels sometimes like athletes cop a lot more flack for illicit drug use than, say, a muso or an actor would if they were found in the same situation.
Yeah, it's almost become a rite of passage, hasn't it, for rock stars over the years. And the sort of the badass reputation. Whereas athletes expected, I suppose, to be more role models in the community, that young people look up to them, etc., etc. So you could sort of suggest that there's a bit of a double standard there.
It does feel like, that we hold athletes to such high standards that must be its own pressure, which could even lead to these kind of drug use breaks, I guess.
Yeah, look. Look, it's difficult to, get inside the head of each, individual athlete. But we do know that this isn't just about athletic performers. I mean, I mentioned about the stress of competition. But, the fact that the Cronulla Sharks CEO also was found using illicit drugs, whether this is a lifestyle choice, whether it is something of a form of escapism. We don't really understand particularly well why it takes place. But I think perhaps the most important thing is when it becomes habit-forming, that it isn't just, an occasional intervention in this sort of area, but it becomes a way of life and you end up with a situation like Ben Cousins, for example, who ended up with a major substance abuse problem and is currently in jail.
Yeah. Look, the other thing people have commented on is the inconsistencies when it comes to how athletes are punished for incidences involving recreational job. I mean, some people feel like there needs to be a greater consistency on how it's treated by the code.
Yeah, well, this is a really interesting area of debate because the World Anti-Doping Agency does not test for these kinds of drugs out of competition. Yet, if by chance an athlete, say, smokes marijuana during the week, that is a great risk because that is likely to appear in their body on match day and they would be treated as a doper. Whereas if they, snorted cocaine, it's out of the system much quicker than cannabis. So from a doping perspective, there are lots of risks of indulging in this kind of activity from a doping perspective, even though athletes don't, set out to dope. The sort of punishments they can get are under the codes that players actually agree to. There is no requirement on the part of governments or WADA to have anything. In fact, many sports don't bother to test their athletes at all. So it's all quite voluntary. And athletes have basically agreed because sports want to take, a harm minimisation medical model In other words, working with particularly young athletes who may have indulged want to admit that they now have experience in this activity, and perhaps it's become a habit and they want to change, but they want a system whereby they can put their hand up and get help from within sport and not be, if you like, named and shamed at the first instance and just simply rubbed out of their sport. And particularly when you consider, if you go down to a club in Sydney, I'm advised anyway, that you can wander in and get all manner of drugs. And so the availability of these substances in society makes the risk management element of being an athlete very important.
Look, I was going to ask, and just finally, I think it's something I want to touch on. You mentioned, often these athletes are quite young. We're talking about people who have barely made it into adulthood sometimes. Do you think they're getting enough emotional support, enough social support for the fact that they're now being propelled into the spotlight and having a lot of pressure put on them at what is a very, very tender age for some of these people?
Yeah, look, maturity is something you can't buy. You've got to experience. And it's very important that young athletes in particular have good mentors. Mm. Many of them also, of course, have player agents. They have people around them to try to advise them. But typically when they're in the sport environment, that's when they're most comfortable. They're safest. They have peers around them. It's when they're outside the sport environment and they are sort of unwinding from which may have been a very harrowing kind of 2 or 3 hour game. Many of them have taken substantial amounts of caffeine, which is a performance enhancer that is allowed, but they find themselves still awake at say 3 a.m. in the morning. So they go into this sort of roller coaster of sort of chemical ups and downs, which actually doesn't help their emotional well-being.